pitch is lined toward short. What a pick! Backhand stop by Crawford. Flips to second, one throw to first. Got him, double play. Oh my goodness, Brandon Crawford, what a play. Even with a little bobble after he fielded it cleanly as he spun around, he still was able to get the ball to Estrada and the Giants turn two. Wow. Vintage Brandon Crawford. That's one of the best plays he's made all year.
Yeah, we think those guys are at least solid average, you know, have the potential to be plus at those positions. Again, youth and athleticism, which, you know, again, you know, those guys may not be 80 athletes, but they're in their prime. They move around well. You know, with the new defensive alignment rules, range is going to be really important in the infield, and those are both guys that we think have really good range. And then, you know, we expect, you know, our outfield defense was a big issue last year. We think bringing in Haniger and Conforto, two guys who are really solid defensively, we think we're going to have, like, a lot of stability in our outfield, which we've talked about. You know, having Haniger, Yaz, and Conforto out there on a regular basis with Austin Slater mixing in. You know, our outfield defense was probably the biggest issue that we had last year on our team. And so having consistency there and, you know, guys that can even play a solid outfield, we think it's going to be a big upgrade.
All right, we're awaiting a call from Brandon Crawford. If you remember in June last year, he had an awkward slide against the Braves. I think it was like June 21st, 22nd. Giants won that game 12-10. And then he had the dinged up knee for a while. Once he got healthy, we saw like those plays that you just heard. I mean, the guy can pick it like nobody at second base. He's the greatest shortstop in Giants history. And he's going to be healthy this year. And he's going to get to all the balls he got to before he dinged up his knee next year. So it was fun to watch him down the stretch. And it's going to be fun to talk to him tonight on the show. I think he's calling right now, and I think we got him. Brandon Crawford joins the show. Brandon, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, good. Were you at the Eagles game this weekend? You took the family back east and went to watch the NFC Championship game?
Yeah, I was there. Unfortunately, it was the Eagles game. It wasn't much of a Niners game.
I know, dude. That must have sucked as a fan, right? Like, you flew back there, you're a Niners fan, you're from Northern California, and then we didn't even get to see the game.
It was tough, yeah. Me and Jalen, my wife, and we took Braxton, our 7-year-old, because he follows football a little bit, so thought that would be fun for him. And the game wasn't so much, but the whole trip was pretty fun still.
Yeah, you got to experience the fan experience, which you don't get to do very much. I mean, as a player.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you, did you wear your Niners jersey? Like, were you that brave?
I did.
Did you really?
I did. We were all rocking Niners stuff, yeah.
So, I mean, I know you were a quarterback in high school and a really good quarterback in high school. Were you, like, ready to suit up, like, in the third quarter?
I told a couple of people I was ready to walk down there and ask if they had an extra jersey or something.
Well, that had to be frustrating for you. Is a really good quarterback in high school. Obviously, like, you're the best shortstop in Giants history, and it worked out. You picked the right sport. But, like, how frustrating was that for you watching Brock Purdy with basically a baseball injury? Did you know at the time what had happened, or were you just kind of guessing like we all were?
I had heard it was elbow. So, I mean, when you're at the game, you don't see all the replays like you. I'm sure you did on TV. But I had seen, I think, enough. I saw one replay that looked like it was something probably like a UCL, just with how much force was coming down on his arm while he was trying to move forward. So, I mean, you hope that it's not something like that, but wasn't surprised that it was. And it's, I mean, just really unfortunate for such a good team. It's, you know, such a good run and good season to end it like that. But they were fun to watch this year.
So you've experienced the Philly fans on the baseball side like I have, and it's whatever. I mean, I've never really had a bad experience with Phillies fans. I mean, they are what they are. You know what you're getting into. Was it different with the football side of it? Was it a lot more rowdy and weird?
I mean, I think just the playoff atmosphere made it a little bit more rowdy probably. And we got plenty of stuff yelled at us or, you know, said to us. Walking through the concourse or, you know, even after the game, walking to try to get an Uber back to the hotel. But there were actually a lot of good fans, too, that were kind of embarrassed by some of the other guys that were yelling at us. But we sat in a good section with a lot of good fans around us.
Well, you made it out alive with the family. That's good. You're back in Northern California, yeah. It sounds like. Or are you down in Scottsdale already?
I'm in Scottsdale. We live here. Oh.
Well, that's good. You made it out alive, so that's all that matters. Did you get recognized at all by Eagles fans?
Yeah, a handful of people. We were down on the field for pregame, and we had a couple of people come over to us and say hi, and the guy next to me was a big Eagles fan and was trying to figure out who I was, I think, for a while, and finally figured it out. And then actually some of the people in front of us were from the Bay Area. They were Eagles fans, I think. One of them helps train a couple of the Eagles players, so they were right in front of us. And they were actually Giants fans also, so I told them they got one of the teams right. But at least they had the baseball team right.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
That's cool. We're talking to Brandon Crawford, Giants shortstop. Nice enough to join us tonight. So what's this ride been like for you, Brandon? I mean, growing up a Giants fan and then playing 12 years for him, winning a couple World Series. Like, you used to grow up going to Candlestick Park with your mom and dad, Mike and Lynn, and now you're playing for the Giants. I know I grew up a Giants fan in Northern California, and there were times where I looked down my jersey going, man, I'm really playing for this team. But you've done so much for this organization. You've had so much success. So talk about maybe being a little kid and being a Giants fan and now being like a 2-time world champ, a 3-time All-Star, a 4-time gold glove winner for the team you grew up rooting for.
I mean, I've said it for years, but it's a dream come true and then some. You know, as a kid, I obviously always wanted to play baseball, and the dream was to play for the Giants and play shortstop for the Giants. And, you know, somehow that all came true. But, you know, even as a kid, I never imagined, you know, winning all those awards and winning the World Series and, you know, having Giant like team records for the amount of innings or games at shortstop. And, you know, I never even would have imagined something like that. So, you know, it's like I said, a dream come true and then some. And I mean, I think sometimes when you're in the middle of it and you're grinding through a season or something like that, you don't really think about stuff like that. But when you step back and look at it, you know, it's been, you know,
you broke up right there. Sorry, Brandon. You're going on year 13, like year 13 as a San Francisco Giant in the big leagues. I mean, has it hit you yet, or has it just gone by like a blink of an eye?
I mean, I think just it's one of those things where you don't really think about it until someone asks you about it. Yeah, I mean, year 13, that's crazy. You know, it's a long time to be playing baseball in the big leagues, let alone for the same team. You know, I couldn't have asked for a better situation, and I'm happy it all worked out the way it did.
So how big is it for you knowing when the season's going to start this year? That must have been tough for you guys last year. Like, how do I train? When's the lockout going to stop? Like, when is spring training? When is opening day? At least this year. I mean, you've had some weird off seasons in the past with COVID and then the lockout last year. At least you know when you're going to start this year. How much has that benefited your training?
I mean, I think the timing matters a little bit. I think last year I still continued to train like the season was going to start at any point. So I don't know if that was what affected me as much as just not being able to use our facilities and our coaches and stuff like I have pretty much every off season of my career. That was the harder part for me, I think, last year. And then, you know, a benefit this year, being able to go into our facilities, use our strength coaches, our trainers, our hitting coaches, you know, take ground balls with Kai, stuff like that. And just being able to get ready like a normal off season.
Yeah, and actually work out with the coaches and the players. That has to help you out a lot. Talk about June last year, that weird slide you had at home. You had a contusion on your knee. You tried to play through it. Maybe you could tell the fans, I went through some knee stuff as a player. And when you don't have your base underneath you, it affects everything, whether it's balls I get to in the infield, whether it's throwing and putting weight on it, and then even having the base underneath you to hit with at the plate. Talk about how tough that was, and then when you got healthy, the difference toward the end of the year.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a kind of a an injury I've had before, and the, you know, the collision at home just kind of brought it back, I guess. I was able to, in 2018, second half of 2018, I had something going on with it where just like my bat, like basically putting pressure on it would kind of give me like a sharp pain underneath my kneecap. And so obviously it's tough to play shortstop and hit. And it's my left knee, so it's my my back leg. So I'm trying to balance on that, you know, I take. So it was something that I worked on in the off season and actually got a lot better in 19, 20, 21. I didn't really notice it at all. And then that collision at home kind of, I guess the inflammation and swelling and stuff kind of brought that thing back. And I just knew from that second half of 18 that I had, that it wasn't worth trying to play through it, because you know, my numbers weren't great. It was a lot harder to hit and field and move around. So I mean, it was tough. I wanted to get through it, but I knew it wasn't smart. And on the aisle for a little bit, I thought it felt better. Tried to come back off, and you know, still was feeling it, I think, like two or three games in, coming off that first IL stint. So went back on, and it felt a little bit better after the little longer IL stint that I had last year. And you know, it was still there every once in a while, but not as bad. So hopefully it's, you know, it's been feeling better, so hopefully it's good to go going into the season.
Good. Glad it's feeling better, and we're excited to see you play shortstop. Are you excited without the shift? Like, it's going to be normal 6-4-3 double plays. You're not going to be feeding your third baseman from the right side of the infield. What are you thinking about actually standing in the position that you played your whole life this year?
I guess it'll be a little bit back to normal, but I mean, I'm sure we'll still have shortstops and second basemen positioned pretty much right up the middle, because we're still allowed to do that. So we'll still probably have some funky plays, but not as many as we've had in the past. But I mean, I was kind of 50-50 on the shift. So, you know, I think it was definitely smart from a defensive standpoint in certain situations. And then from the hitting side, I feel like I always actually hit okay against it. So I didn't really mind it either way, but having that four hole back open and, you know, maybe some of the middle of the field back open might be nice this year.
And Brandon, when you talk about 2021 versus 2022, when I was around you in the ballpark this year, it wasn't so much the players, but the media kept bringing up 2021 and 107 wins and comparing last year to the year before that. And it seemed to me, being new around here and being on the East Coast for so many years, that a lot of us maybe had trouble getting over 2021 and comparing everything and not like being in the moment in last year. Did you guys have, with as players, ever get to that point where you're like, well, last year, and then, well, last year, and then did you ever like have that happen in the clubhouse where you're like, hey, man, we got to focus on this year?
From a team perspective, I don't think it happened a whole lot. We went into the season when we weren't playing up to that standard. I think we, you know, it was tough on all of us. But I don't think, I feel like I didn't hear many guys like comparing 21 to 22 or anything like that. Maybe from a luck perspective or a luck standpoint, because I feel like everything went right for us in 21 and not a whole lot went right for us in 22. So I think there was a little comparisons there. But then, like, individually, obviously I looked at a ton of film from my year in 2021 and tried to compare it to last year. So I mean, there's stuff like that, but I mean, it was at least supposed to be beneficial and helpful, and try to get my swing back on track.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
You know, as you move into 2023 in a new season, obviously you guys are all fired up and ready to go. But when you're playing in such a tough division and you see what the Padres did in the offseason, you see what the Dodgers have done historically in your division, like, how do you recapture that feeling and that lightning in a bottle that you guys had a couple of years ago this year to compete with those teams that look like, on paper at least, and we know how a season works out, on paper that have everything they need?
Well, on paper in 2021, we weren't supposed to win 107 games and win the division either. So, I mean, I think we have a better team on paper, at least going into this year than we did in 2021. So I think we kind of look at that and see the improvements that we made. Obviously not what everybody hoped for. Some of the bigger names out there that ended up not coming to us, but I definitely think we made some good moves and got our team better with some of the moves that were made. So I think we focus on those and how we can all get better and kind of all hopefully recapture some of the some form from some of the better days we've had. Like, I mean, I guess looking back at it, 2021 was a great season for a lot of guys. So if we can kind of get back to at least close to that and some of these additions that we made, I think we can have another good year.
Yeah, get that horseshoe back in your pocket from 2021. I'll say your pocket because we're on the radio right now and I don't want to say the other thing, but I appreciate your – are we going to see you Saturday at the ballpark?
I'll be there, yep.
Awesome, dude. Well, hey, good luck this year. I, for one, am glad to see you at shortstop next year. We're not even talking about that. I'm so glad you're going to be standing in the place that we're used to you standing in. We're going to see you play at a high level that we're used to seeing you play, and you're going to have a wonderful season, dude. I can't thank you for coming on the show enough. Enjoy the rest of your offseason. Get a lot of hand sanitizer ready for Saturday at the ballpark, and we're going to be happy to see you, dude. Take care. Have a good night, Brandon.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Brandon Crawford, Giants shortstop, nice enough to take time out at 9 o'clock at night to come on the show. And just, I mean, that was great stuff. I mean, I get a little starstruck talking to him because, like, his parents grew up season ticket holders at Candlestick Park. He used to watch me sit on the bench in 1999 with his parents, and then just to watch him get called up, like, as a kid in 2011, the year after the Giants won the World Series, and watch his career develop to this point. Like, yeah, I mean, were the Giants trying to get better by improving at different positions, and the best free agents out there were shortstops? Yeah, you understand that. But, you know, you also understand that you have the greatest shortstop in the history of the organization playing for you right now. When he's healthy, and I think we saw that at the end of the season, that all of a sudden, like, you're going to see the old Brandon Crawford. Not because he's 35, and I don't mean his age. You're going to see the young Brandon Crawford is what I should have said more accurately at shortstop, running around, making all the plays, and making them look easy. Like, that's the thing about him you take for granted. Like, he makes plays that I'm over there giggling in the stands going, oh, but it just makes it look like, wait, that was slow motion. He threw it to first. Like, how did he make that play? So for him to say, did you guys get that soundbite for him to say that they're better right now than they were in 2021? And look what happened that year. That got me fired up. I don't know if that got you guys fired up, but that got me pumped up for the season coming up. And I think we've been through kind of a tumultuous, torturous offseason as a fan base based on the way, you know, the whole Aaron Judge thing was pulled out from underneath us and the Correa thing, he wasn't healthy enough to sign to a 13-year deal, that you talk to a guy that's like, I guess been through a lot this offseason. And I didn't want to bring up a negative topic. Like, why? That's irrelevant at this point. But to see him so positive and fired up for the season and to take time out to come on the show, I can't thank him enough. We got the
on paper in 2021, we weren't supposed to win 107 games and win the division either. So, I mean, I think we have a better team on paper, at least going into this year than we did in 2021.
Well, there's your soundbite. It took us 15 minutes, but that's your soundbite. You're going to hear that all day tomorrow on the Sports Leader.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.